singing. I don't care where you're from. That's just good singing. If I lived in this town, I'd go to church here just to hear that singing. I ain't much on the preaching, but I sure do like that good singing. I can't tell you in all these years that I've been here, in 30 years, I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Boy, we sure likes hearing them kids sing and them girls sing and all that right there. And then I'm not able to respond. I want to tell them where they can go to this church. You can hear some more of that. See, shame on you for thinking ugly. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Romans. Romans in chapter number 10. Take your Bible, look there. We're going to start reading out about chapter number 9, about verse 32. Notice, if you will, please. Well, back to verse number 30. Let's back up to there in chapter number 9. All right, what shall we say then, if you're able to stand? What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? There's a question. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, talking about Jesus Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What a good thought that is. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back in the house of God. We want to pray not only for this church, this congregation, but Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel. And our heart's desire, may we be in tune with the word of the Lord, and may our heart's desire be the desire the Apostle Paul had, and that is for the salvation of Israel as a nation. And Lord, bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, I want to preach a little while on making it up as they go along. The Bible said that whenever we begin to look here into this lesson that's here, that you'll find that salvation's always been, always will be, and never has been anything else. But it's always been in a person. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that he's able to save your soul this morning if you're not saved. And you've not yet been born into the family of God. The problem lies with you. It does not lie with him. Israel, as a result of that, sought it not by faith. And let me tell you, if you're going to be able to serve God and live for God and get saved by the grace of God, it's going to take faith that came from God, that God imparted to you, that you might be able to exercise faith in him. In the lesson that we're looking at, it's a desire that comes from the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's going to mean prayer unto God, talking unto God about it. And let me tell you something, we're talking about the salvation of a nation. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, what a good thought it is for somebody to be praying for a whole nation. Lord, save our nation. Well, if there's ever a nation needs saving, we do it in this country that we're living in. But here's where we're praying for Israel. And boy, you better pray for her. She's surrounded by enemies on every side. In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said they had a zeal of God. Now, there's a lot of times that we're talking about here. And by the way, let me say to you, zeal can never take the place of the word of the Lord. Do you realize that, oh, that whenever you've got zeal, that's a good thing? Nobody likes an old dead, dull, dry than cracker juice Baptist church. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, when time a church is dead and dull and dry, they're trying to just make up for it as they go along. Now, you know, I've been thinking about all these years since we've been here in this area here. You'd think out of a town, what do we got, about 33,000 strong? You'd think that out of a town here, just enough people passing by. Sometimes we've been out, we've knocked every door around this area and in this country. We've stood out on the street corner there and on the highway and had people honking and blowing at the word of the Lord. Man, you would think that there would be in a town of this size that out of curiosity, there'd be twice or three times this that just gathered to hear, I want to hear what's going on there. Everybody that's ever showed up here has always left saying what a blessing that it was to hear the good singing that they've enjoyed. You would think they would be showing back up again. But let me tell you right now, friend, Nacogdoches County is going to hell in a handbasket, and they're looking for something religiously to salve their dead conscience. They want to live like they want to live. They want to do what they want to do. They want to go where they want to go. They want to be whatever they want to be, and they just want to make it up as they travel along. Now, you know what zeal is, don't you? It's enthusiasm. You ever been to a dead Baptist church and all of that? Well, I make a motion that we do this and another motion we do that. And woman jumps up and all that business there and motions are ended. I want to say to you that if you will, they nobody likes that. You would think, since that we have got something different than that, hey, that this place would be packed out and running over. But you know the reason it's not? I'll tell you why, because humanity likes to be able to make it up as they go along. I was thinking about, you know, in this day and hour that we're living in, that the Bible said over there in the book of Psalm 69, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And you know why, don't you? It's because they were excited about and exuberant about and all of that business. They were happy, if you will, please, about what they were doing. But it wasn't from the word of the Lord. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, there's a passage over there somewhere. And whenever I said to you that you cannot use the zeal to take a place, you know, if you've lost your shout, you're never going to find it by skipping out on the word of the Lord. If you've lost your shout, dear friend, you're going to have something from the word of God that's going to be able to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. And I say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find out is that when he said something about the zeal of mine house or thine house has eaten me up, you know the reason for it, don't you? They wanted to have shouting without the word of the Lord. They wanted to be able to live like they wanted to live, do whatever they wanted to do. Next time somebody tells you they lost their shout, it just might be all the church you skipped out on that sucked it out of you. It just might be that, dear friend, is that because of the company that you're running with, has dampened your spirit, and you're more interested in money and business and fortune than you are the blessed word of the Lord. No wonder you've lost your shout. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out maybe it's all that Monday morning cussing that you're doing because things have gone wrong in the business world. That may be where you lost it. But see what we're looking at in the day and hour that we're living in. We're just looking to feel good any way we can and that we can make up about it. I've seen people in days gone by, and you talk about many days. Whenever you're talking about me, I'm talking about many days. And there's been many days that have gone by. And you'll find out that the zeal of God is a good thing to be able to have, to be excited about, to be exuberant about, to be enthusiastic about, but not apart from the word of the Lord. I've seen many a person, you know, that was shouting on Sunday morning, couldn't be back on Sunday night, or either they're shouting on Sunday morning, and then you might not see them again for 2 or 3 weeks. We got folks every now and again now. Well, what time, when's your church start? Well, as soon as everybody gets there and we open it up, the song leader says, "Let's say good morning or good evening," and whatever you're going to be doing. And I wonder if I could come. Most of the time, they're not coming. If somebody asks you, can we come? Most of the time, they're not coming. I'm glad to say to you that, if you will, that you can shout and you can be enthused and you can have something real from the hand of God and the altar of God in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, you're going to find out is that in the day and hour that we're living in, that the Israelite had zeal, but not according to knowledge. What do you got to shout about if you don't know what God says about it? See? In other words, when you begin to look into the Word of the Lord, you begin to recognize and realize is that it's good to be zealously affected in a good thing. And a good thing is going to be given to you from the Word of the Lord. And let me say to you, the Bible said over the book of Titus, in chapter 2 and about verse number 14, that we ought to be zealous of good works. So he's not knocking zeal. He's knocking making it up as you go along kind of zeal. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that here's what happens is that in the day we live in, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they were making it up as they went along. Now, I want to tell you something. In the day we live in, we're finding religion is in business without a Bible and without a burden. Not saved people, but religious but lost. Their slogan may be happy, happy, happy. Like the Duck Dynasty crown. I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you look at Duck Dynasty, they look like four hippies, look like four hippie thugs that are trying to represent Christianity. Now, I don't know about you, but it offends me because of the fact I know that's not Christianity. Doesn't have the mark of it, doesn't have the look of it, doesn't have the... They're enthused about the money they're making, but they're making it up as they go along. Now, they got duck calls and TV programs, and you're going to find out they've got shirts to sell and cups and mugs and hats and shooting bags and all that, books and pads and pencils, etc. And it would appear they have everything but a Bible. And, of course, as a result of it, you know, way back whenever I wrote to the main guy, whatever his name is, and I don't remember what it is, and it don't make any difference. God knows or God don't know, either one. But let me just tell you, I wrote to him and said, hey, I'm thrilled about the fact that you've taken a stand against the gay rights movement. And of course, they had to get rid of him, Fields, the older one, isn't he? And he had to be banned from the rest of them because they were going to lose their support and lose their business, lose their money, and therefore lose their zeal. And as a result, I said, I want to tell you, I'm glad and commend you and gave him a Bible. But why do you have hair longer than your wife's is? And then I gave him the passage for it. They sent me back a letter and said, thank you for standing with us. See, you know what that is? That's zeal, buddy. Without knowledge, it comes from God. You know, if they had wrote me back and said, hey, I want to tell you, God bless you for saying anything. You're the only one that has. But they didn't. You know, they wanted to make out like they just overlooked whatever was going on. In fact, is they'd make good Baptists. I understand their church without Christ. But anyhow, they'd make good Baptists, you know, because they know how to ignore the preaching of the blessed word of the Lord. I want to say to you that, if you will, that's what's happening in the church age. We're looking for great energy. We're looking for great enthusiasm. And let me tell you, we're looking for zeal, but we want to make it up as we go along. And as a result of that, here's what you end up with, is what we got in the day and hour that we're living in. I want to say to you that, if you will, that that's what happened to Israel, the reason why she does not know her maker till this day. The reason why Israel is blind as a bat, or in part, is because of the fact that she has a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The Apostle Paul brought the message of God and gave them the knowledge for it in his name. They wanted to kill him. If you'll try to bring the message of God in your day, you're not going to be popular with humanity. You're going to find out that the righteousness of God, according to verse number 3, is according unto the blessed word of the Lord. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of what God's given, what God's doing, how God's going to save you. Now, they're ignorant of that. And let me tell you something, is that they didn't appreciate the word of the Lord. And the only way you're going to be zealous and please God with it is that it's going to be according to the word of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, the devil's always been. He is right now. He will be tomorrow. He's a fabricator. He's going to invent his own way of religion. Why do you think there's so many false religions that are out there? Now, here's what you're going to run upon, and you're going to meet people, and they're going to say, well, I can tell you right now is that I believe there's some good in all religions. You got that? That's what they're going to say to you. And your answer is going to be this. If that were true, then wherein lies false religion? See? If there's some good in all religion, wherein lies false religion? Well, I'll tell you, there's none good, no, not one, the Bible said. There's none that seeketh after God. Let me tell you, when God puts you in the seeking business to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, let me tell you, you'll be on the right track. He'll be in your heart, and you'll be living for God. The devil's an imitator. He always has been. He has fabricated preachers. He has imitated preachers, imitated Christians. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian's not imitating a Christian. Being a Christian and imitating a Christian's two different things. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find there's a lot of people out there that they're not Christian, but they're trying to imitate him. Let me say to you, you cannot act your way into heaven. You cannot act your way out of hell. You cannot imitate a Christian and be a Christian. That's two different things that we're talking about in one sentence. And I want to say to you that if you will, is that Jesus, the Bible said that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you, but this is a true statement. There's not many statements that I like that Jack Hiles ever made. But it's the first time I ever heard it, and I don't know where he got it, because somebody had to give it to him, as erroneous as he was. But here's what he said, and this is the truth of the matter. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. You and I owe a debt we cannot pay. And if you're ever going to be born into the family of God and have the sin debt taken care of, you've got to come to him as an empty-handed beggar. And when God comes knocking on your heart door, I'll tell you what he'll do is he'll make you accepted into the beloved and into the family of God. Now I want to get ready to close, if you will, please. Is that if you're on fire for God and fervent in spirit, that's a great thing. Just make sure that you're in accordance to the word of the Lord. That's what that is there. I remember years ago, I hadn't done it in a while, but I hadn't seen it in a while, but years ago, I can tell you many occasions, but I can't keep up with them, remember all of that, but the many occasions boil down to one. Be all of a sudden, you know, you're there, the singing's been good, and this and that. Anybody got a testimony for the Lord? And everybody's sitting like lockjaw. And directly somebody on the back row, this first time they've been to church in 6 years, well, I guess, preacher, if there ain't nobody else going to, I'll stand up. And then there's three or four or five other people that know them that want to throw up. Well, they should throw up and swallow their own puke. Because if you'd have stood up in before that and went ahead and been ready, see, to testify for the Lord. You know, every time Baptist Church ever has a testimonial service, there ought not ever be enough time for all of them. Most times, just one or two people is the various ones, you know, you can. Or somebody that came in for the first time in 6 or 8 months. Preacher, I guess it's going to be left up to me to be able to give a testimony for God. And I know I hadn't been here in a while, and the devil's been on my back, and I don't know what. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. I want to say to you in closing this morning that if you will, please, is that you'll find out that the Bible said that it's good to be zealously affected. And if you'll end the word of the Lord, and you're either going to be in it or out of it, one or the other. Psalms 119, I'm closing with it. Psalms chapter 119, there's a passage over there that we're looking at. And here's what it says in verse number 137 of Psalms 119, all right? He said, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, and therefore thy servant loveth it. I want to say unto you that if you will, make no mistake about it, is that if you're going to have a zeal that's going to magnify the Lord, be enthusiastic for God, that's going to be pleasing to the Lord, it better be according to the blessed word of the Lord. And that's the way to be able to do that. It ought not to be something to where that folks think that you're just a weird duck, a loud, unpleasant, unfaithful weirdness about you. I was at a meeting one time. It was a camp meeting. It was over in Louisiana. And I was sitting there and doing pretty good, all that business there. And I'm not against shouting. I'm not against running at all. But boy, there was some woman that she was about that big around. And that was a small part of her waist. And when she screamed, it sounded like a Comanche Indian that was screaming at Custer's Last Stand. And there was some little boy sitting by me and said, I wish it was sin for her to do that. I'm like that little boy that we was down here in Houston. And I'd never have ridden that big thing that they've got. I don't know what that cyclone or whatever it was, but it was a little kitty thing. I don't know. It was taller than this building, but it wasn't that big one. And I'm reminded of what that little boy that sat by me. I don't know who he was. I don't know where he came from, but he got stuck there in that roller coaster on the very front row by me. We started out, and I'm thinking, hey, this is not bad at all. And as it climbs to the top, and then it levels out a little and drops out of sight. And that little boy was holding on. His eyes was that big around, and he said, Mama! You don't know how bad I was wanting Mama. When you go to church, buddy, it ought not to be a terrifying experience. It ought to be a zeal of happiness and enthusiasm for the Lord and what God's done for you. People ought not to be sitting around wishing it was sin for you to do that. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you, Lord, thy word is truth. We ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to move in our midst. We pray that you'd help us to, Lord, do that which will please and magnify thee, but you have the word of God in our heart, that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. We thank you for loving us in Jesus' name and for Jesus'